felt trapped in a barren place. Every cell, every fiber of my being anxious, exhausted, without hope. I felt there was nothing left of me, of who you created me to be. But then, Lord, I heard you whisper, "I will breathe on you and you will live again. You will be as new as you once were. You will be my dwelling place and my presence will rest with you. I will show you beautiful and wondrous things and lead you on adventures unlike any other. I will breathe on you and you will live again."
Hey guys. Hi, Daniel. I'm actually kind of stoked to be with you guys tonight and all of the campuses, and it's a privilege to be able to share God's word with you. It's really an honor. I don't take it lightly, and so let's just pray about it and see that God would transform our lives tonight through his word and his truth. Is that okay? So, Lord God, help. Amen. One of the best prayers ever. We are starting a three-week series called When God Breathes, and this series means a lot to me. I'm thankful to be able to launch it, that when the breath of God comes, something happens. Life. The breath of God comes, and there's life, and I don't know how you feel, but I'm like middle-aged now. I'm almost 50. Oofta. And there are things in my life I just need God to breathe on. Can I get an amen? And so all of us, whether we're teens or middle-aged, young adults, older, there are things in our life. And for some of us, we need God to breathe life into us because you haven't experienced the kingdom and who this Jesus is. And you need even this beautiful thing called salvation tonight. So it could be a pretty extraordinary night. So thank you for coming. Typically at chapel, people attend one out of every 3 weeks or one of 4 weeks. You're like, what? I'm here all the time. Yeah, but a lot of people, because of culture and stuff, that's kind of the attendance pattern in most churches in America. Here's what I want you to consider. Be here the next 3 weeks. Give the next 3 weeks, When God Breathes, this series, your full attention. And see what God does with it. Next week, Scott has an amazing message that in the scripture is so powerful. After that, Jamie's going to share. So we're up for a good 3 weeks. So let's talk about when God breathes and the breath of God. And I'm going to do right now the most obvious sermon illustration in the history of churchdom. You guys ready for it? All right. So please welcome 3 volunteers out to the platform. All right, come on out, you guys, and wave at the other campuses. All right, say your first name.
I'm Dylan.
Stacia.
I'm Gene.
Awesome. Now, these guys are going to do a contest where I'm going to ask them to hold their breath as long as they can. Now, don't pass out, okay? Be safe about this and don't do this at home. But what's interesting is all of us have a certain amount of breaths left. You're like, oh man, that's kind of deep. So we as humans, I'm adding it up, have 23,000 breaths a day where we go in and we go out. Right? And so if we take that times a typical life expectancy, how old are you?
13.
13. So you got like roughly 70 years left. So let's say times 70, you will have 1,610,000 more breaths. All right, now let's go over to Gene and see what this number is. Gene, how old are you, Gene?
I'm just 70.
70, all right. So that's 23,000 times typical life expectancy. I won't say the number.
13.
13 years. So you got 299,000 breaths
that's
left.
That's a lot.
Yeah, Stacia, how old are you? No, we're not going to do it. So everybody listening to me right now, and myself, We have a certain number of breaths left in this body. What we want to explore tonight is simply this. Let's not waste them. And some of us are. And I know there's areas in my life I'm wasting breath. Has anyone ever said that to you? Don't waste your breath. That's good advice, right? So what I want to do is have you guys hold your breath, and I just want to kind of see how it feels for you. All right, so what I want you to do first on the count of three is blow your breath out. You're not going to go like, and then hold, because we don't have time. So I want you to go and blow it all out, and then hold it, and we're going to see who can go the longest. When you start getting real uncomfortable, please breathe. You know what I mean? Don't pass out. Are you guys ready? All right, and so anybody that's around teenagers, this is your guy. Everybody cheer for this one? All right. We'll say anybody in their awesome age of roughly Stacia, that's your team, all right? And then all the campuses too. And 70 and older is Gene's team. Awesome. All right, 1, 2, 3, blow all your breath out. I'm going to trust you not to breathe out in your nose. And hold your breath. Now I'm going to come by and I'm going to tickle you. No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right. So Dylan and Stacia are going at it. The verse we're going to be looking at. Oh, okay. All right. Dylan wins. Yeah. Awesome. 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 None of us stay. Gene, you can go. God bless you. Awesome. Keep breathing, brother. No, stay here. How did it feel at the end there, the last couple seconds when you were holding your breath? Like what did it feel like in your body?
Not good.
Not good. And what did it feel like when you finally got to breathe?
Really good.
Really good. Okay. How did it feel for you? What was your body doing?
Painful.
Was it really? Okay. And then how about when you breathed in?
Felt really good.
Felt really good. Okay. Thank you, guys. Obvious, right? Give those guys a hand. The most obvious sermon illustration ever. If you don't breathe, it's painful and you die. If you breathe, it gives life. When God breathes, he gives life. And there's this verse in Genesis 2:7. It's the first time we really see God breathing in the Bible to bring a being spirit or bring a being alive. And some of you have heard it before, and it's pretty interesting. It's Genesis 2:7. It says, the Lord God, we'll look at this a lot tonight, formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. We're just going to unpack about four pieces of this today. The Lord God, let's all read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, this is a count in Genesis as part of the creation, I just have the creation story, and it's just a beautiful account of how things got started. It's poetry, really, from a Jewish perspective and how they laid it out. It's just gorgeous. It's not meant to be a scientific explanation, although science affirms everything we find out in the Bible. As we continue to look at science and truth, it continues to unpack the reality of the Bible. And I'll show you something about that in a moment, some science about clay. It's pretty cool. But when we look at God breathing in our life, what I found as a pastor is that a lot of times people have a kind of a misconception of God. A misconception of God even when he created humans and why he created humans. I asked my son the other day, why did God create humans? And he's like, I don't know, I suppose he was bored. Well, you know, I don't think the Bible points to that. We'll talk about that in a moment. You know, why did humanity get started? Why did you get started? These are like big questions. Why is the kingdom come, and why is Jesus so excited when he says the kingdom is here? This is the good news of the gospel. Well, sometimes that gets diluted when we don't understand the nature of God himself from the very beginning. You see, some people see God as very distant, right? Some people see God as kind of angry. And if we would all be honest, I know I felt this way, I kind of think sometimes just naturally I drift to God is disappointed in me. When I ask people all around the country and sometimes over in other countries, and I ask a question and I say, put your hand up if you're a good Christian. And like, somebody puts their hand up and they goes, wait, I didn't understand the question. Like, we have this idea that we're just not doing this very well, this whole Christian thing, and we're hypocrites, and we're all of this. And then so we get this idea deep in our heart and deep in our psychology, whether we admit it or not, is God probably isn't that happy. And nothing could be further than from the truth, you guys. So let me back up to where sometimes this idea started that God was distant, that goes down the storyline of maybe even disappointed. And it really hit home to me. I was in Rome. My mom and dad were generous and gave us a trip to the Vatican. Anybody been to the Vatican? It's pretty fun. And there's a place there called the Sistine Chapel. It was a place that has this incredible paintings on the ceiling, right? And it was kind of a funny story. I had shorts on that day, and you're not allowed to go in these places with shorts. And we were there for one day. What am I going to do? And my mom had her pants on, her woman pants, and she said, oh, it's okay, it's okay. You can wear my pants. So we exchanged pants. I won't tell you how or where at the Vatican. And so I walked through this looking up at the ceiling in my mom's pants. So that's what I remember. It had nothing to do with anything. This holy place that we're in. Anyway, so what's fascinating when you walk through the Sistine Chapel is it's an example of art and history and how humanity sees God. And if you look up, you will see this picture right in the middle. It's the most famous picture of the creation of man, where this is Adam and this is God. It's called the Creation of Adam. And it was painted by Michelangelo, right? Not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. But there's this actual artist anyways. And so that's there. It's just amazing, you guys. If you look really close, though, you see that this idea throughout history is God is in the clouds and humans are down here. And you see it in cartoons and you see it in books. And even you hear it in teachers and preachers. And you hear it in the Bible when we talk about the heavens. And all of this is inaccurate. And it even comes to play when you look really close at the hands of God and Adam, which is so funny. Could Adam care less in this picture? Fine. Fine, create me. Create me, God, if you want to. Don't really care. Whatever. Hey, does that sound familiar? Yeah, whatever. There's a God? Yeah, whatever. It breaks my heart to see the most famous painting in the history of the world where God and man are not touching. I think this breaks God's heart. I love the painting, but everything we see in the Bible, Jesus' name, Emmanuel at birth, God with us, God walking in the garden, Jesus coming himself to be with us and teach us and be around us. Everything in the Bible is about this God that is with us. But we have this idea that he's distant. So when he created humanity, he must have been way far away and created this human thing from a distance. But it's much more beautiful than that. There is a problem that we are called to lean into, that God is not distant and he is with us and the kingdom is here. Now, Dallas Willard says this in an amazing quote. He just brings it. The damage done to our practical faith in Christ and in his government at hand. He says that because Jesus says the kingdom is at hand. By confusing heaven with a place that is distant or outer space or beyond space is incalculable. In other words, you cannot measure what a problem this has created with humanity seeing God as distant. For most of my life, I felt God was distant and probably didn't care. And there are times now even where I slide into that when something really bad happens. I get frustrated with the finances or something. There was a people group as well in the New Testament that felt God was distant. They lived on the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. We visited there a couple times from Capernaum. It's the point where Jesus got in a boat, said, we're going to the other side. They get to the other side, and there's this guy that has a demon, and he's totally oppressed by this demon, and they have him in chains. You've heard the story, some of you. This guy needed freedom, right? So that's where Jesus went. But what most people don't know is that culture, those towns, weren't Jewish. They had this very interesting religion. We find this through artifact and through story, that they believed God was very distant and not part of humanity. And God didn't touch humanity. And so they live their life understanding there's a way to live your life and God's not going to mess with you. Okay? That's how they believed. That sounds familiar to some culture now. And so Jesus shows up and he sees this guy who needs freedom, and Jesus is all about freedom, and he cast out these demons from this guy into these pigs. Some of you remember this story. And they go into the pigs, and the pigs go into the Sea of Galilee, and all of the people you would think would be like, that's awesome. Jesus, we love you. Please stay with us. I want to follow you. But in the Bible, that's not what happened. Know what they said? Oh, snap. I mean, I'm sure it says, oh, snap. They said, leave us. You must leave us. Get away from us. They said to Jesus, go. Because their whole world just got flipped upside down. God entered their world. And their humanity, a spiritual life came in and had authority. They couldn't comprehend it. And so something bad must be going on. You see, there's been these pieces of humanity that they thought that God was distant and doesn't interact. But he does, and he breathes on us. What I love about the chapel is this is a group of people that believes God's very near. Can I get an amen? You guys are awesome. Hey, what's interesting about that story? So Jesus does leave. But he goes back later, and when he goes back, 4,000 to 5,000 people are waiting on the shore to welcome him as king. What happened? Oh, people started talking about it. They started embracing the withness of God. I was at a retreat last weekend with teenagers up in the mountains in Colorado. I was suffering for Jesus, it was fascinating. We were talking about the withness of God, and we were talking about that the kingdom has actually come, and it's still coming, and that God isn't distant. We're just talking about it, just like this. And I could see in their eyes, some of the teenagers started to believe it, right? And then I told them this story, or this unpacked this truth that we see in the Bible. And believe it or not, they were locked in, even though I was doing some teaching on Greek words. And so if we go to the next one, we'll see this interesting Greek word. Everybody say, to Uranou. And everybody say, to Aranu. All right, now somebody give me a beat. No, just kidding. This is fascinating. This word in the New Testament means the atmosphere or the air. It's also the same word used anytime the scripture is talking about sky. And it's also the same word when they're talking about heaven or heavens. And so people say, where is heaven? Is it close? Even the Apostle Paul knew of a guy, he said, that went to have you ever heard this? The third heaven. Like, what's the third heaven? What are we talking about here? And the Bible does talk about different heavens, and this is really important. And it's the same word. Sometimes we say things are in the sky, and it's up high. Have you ever heard the term, the sky's the limit? That means the sky is like a measuring stick. It must be far away. I mean, it's like, wow, big. We talk about the universe being the heavens. In the Bible, we see that the place where God is at, the right hand of God is where Jesus is at, this place, this heaven, this dimension of heaven that you cannot take a plane to. You can't take if we had the best rocket ship, you wouldn't find it. It's, some people call it a dimension. It's real. The Bible talks about that. The Bible also talks the word atmosphere or in the sky or in the universe. And it calls it the heavens that God made. Okay, that's the heavens too in the Bible. They're both accurate. But then there's this other thing that we overlook. The Bible talks about, especially in this story with Peter, with things coming down from the sky or from thin air, the atmosphere or the air around us, the Bible refers to as heaven. Okay, this is where it should go like poof. So scripturally speaking, heaven is not only the universe, is not only this place where God is, but it's right here. It is between me and you, this air, these molecules right now, accurately in scripture is called the atmosphere, tu lauru, and it is the heavens. This makes sense when you think about Jesus. He takes nothing. He takes the atmosphere, about this much atmosphere where there's nothing in it, and all of a sudden there's a fish. What does he do to the molecules? What does he do to make nothing and there's a fish? And then 5,000 people get fed. What do we see with Moses when there's a fire in a bush? Did the fire come from on high from millions and millions and millions of miles away and boof, there's a fire? Or was the atmosphere something that God created out of nothing right there? Fire. And we see it through scripture. When a bone is healed, is it something from way up there? Or does somehow God manipulate in his magnificence the space we're in? And the heavens between us. Heaven is down this aisle, and it's down this aisle, and it's down this aisle. And when we get this idea that God is not distant, he is right here, and he can do what he wants to do, things are different. So at the camp, some stuff started happening, like happens here. And the kids started to Instagram about it. I just grabbed the actual Instagram. It's actually Joe grabbed it for me and put it on here. These names are fake to protect them from you creepers. And so, so this is just starting to happen. It says, this is after talking about the withness of God and that God can breathe on our life. I found peace within my struggles. I was blessed to be healed. My broken foot was healed, and I have zero pain ever since. This person says, awesome. What I love about this is the first thing isn't my foot was healed, and the first thing was I found peace because this God is so close. This one down here says, I learned that I will always have someone to talk, even if I feel like I'm alone. I've learned that I am worth it. And when I call on your name, you make the giants and the monsters fade away. God is so good. There were hundreds of these revelations. There's another one. I'll go to the next actual capture. This is the last one. And this particular person, she was born with Erlin. And it's like when your eyes can't see depth perception, it's like worse than dyslexia. And so not being able to read and special glasses. And her mom was there too. And so she texted or Instagrammed this note. I experienced healing with my eyes. I had Erlin my whole life. So she's 17, so for 17 years. And I had to wear colored glasses. During the first night, we were encouraged to ask God what we needed. But I was being timid. I didn't ask for anything. In the back of my head, there's this quiet voice, because God is so close. And he says, well, what about the Erlin thing? LOL. God brought it up. It was amazing. And each time we sang and I opened my eyes in wonder that my depth perception got better and better. Emoji. God is so good. I accidentally bumped into her mom on a separate occasion. I hadn't heard this yet. And her mom said, did you hear what happened to my daughter? Her eyes were healed when she was worshiping God. And now she looks at a book and she was reading to me tonight. Like, you guys, you hear these stories, but this is what I heard from the mom, who's a normal, not a crazy psycho, you know, hyper-spiritual crazy person. Just a normal person. And some people weren't healed of things, but they felt the breath of God on them in peace and to trust him, this swingless life of excitement. I'm just excited about God being so close. and he breathes on us. I got to get going. I'm going to talk too long. So the next thing I wanted to show you is he's formed man. And how did he form man? Like, what's this idea of forming man, and what's he like? Well, in John 1:3, it's interesting, like, who formed man? Man, all things were made through him. This context of John is talking about Jesus, and without him, not anything that was made. So I don't know if you've thought about the story of there's this clay and there's this God and breathes life into you, but that was Jesus, part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus was there. He's making out of clay this humanity. The word formed is a word that means I was creatively doing art. I was creatively doing art. In fact, clay is fascinating. I think we can take a peek at some clay. Cornell University recently said that wet clay is the perfect place for proteins to develop that lead to forming DNA. Like, science continues to point to this reality of things that are beyond our understanding. If you've ever thought that maybe God created humans because he was bored or because he needed a pet, the Bible makes it clear he formed us because there was love for his pleasure and for our good and for glory, but love. Let me give you a quick illustration so you can feel it. The other night we went with some pastors to a place where you paint. You know, as couples, you paint this thing, and they teach you how to do it, and then you put them together, and it makes a picture, right? So here's Jamie and Tracy. He's got a birch tree, and then I don't know what's going on right there. We got Brad and Laura. These are pastors. Look at their faces. Just a couple things. These are couples that are two distinct people, but they're one in marriage. Look at these guys having a blast. Carlos and Emily. Let's keep going. Look at Thomas's face. Andy and Christine, you and me, that's so cute. Here's Ben and Alyssa, McHenry, and all of this. Alyssa's looks awesome. Ben's like hardly even started. And so, I wanted to show you that, this picture. Distinct people, one in marriage, and they're creating something. The joy in the room was awesome. It was tangible. They were having a blast. And they were like full of love and joy. And in love, they were creating something. And this is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and Christ forming in love and joy. Have you ever thought God was at play when he formed us? Because he was. Then there's this moment where God comes back and looks at us. And what does he think? Well, I snuck a picture of Jamie. He doesn't know that I took this picture. He's in the room, I think, now, so now he knows. So there was this moment where Jamie stepped back from his art, and he looked at that moment where you go, and there was this admiration for what he created. Like, I have done a masterpiece, right? And I know that's silly, but this is the idea that God looks at us and you and this clay, this potter, this creator, and he's created this masterpiece when he looks at you. It's just incredible. This was not some foreign, distant God. This was an intimate moment where he formed us. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. In the Bible, breath, wind, spirit are the same root word. The Spirit of God came into humanity. No other being has the Spirit of God like this, this aliveness in God. We are not physical people that also have a spirit. We are spiritual beings that happen to have a temporary body. Let me say that again. We are not physical people that happen to have a spirit. We are spiritual beings that happen to have a temporary body. And in Christ Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, life in him as in becoming a citizen of the kingdom, we will live forever. We will be spiritual beings that live forever. Have you thought about that? A billion years from now, you're still going to be like rocking and rolling, and it's like the first day. A billion years from now. Because when God breathes, there's life. When God breathes, even big things happen. Check out the Eagle Nebula. God breathed this in Psalm 33:6. Psalm 33:6 is this idea that he is a star breather. And it's just beautiful. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host. It's like God can do magnificent, and he can do something that's precise. He can do perfectly intimate, and he can do grand. It's just incredible. Can I get an amen? Amen. You are incredible. You're a masterpiece. The thing I wanted to get is that God created us in joy, and he's so pleased with you and wants to breathe on your life. He loves breathing on your life, and he's not distant. He is ever so close. When we sing things like, this is the air we breathe, or it's your breath in our lungs, those songs are accurate. They're powerful. What are you doing from your first breath of that baby when you were a baby to whatever time you have left? I got it figured out roughly, give or take 5 or 10 years, 2055, somewhere in there is going to be my last breath. I've been asking myself lately, Lord, what would you have me do with my breath? I don't want to waste it. Even if that last breath comes sooner than we think. There was this teenager named Breezy. She was part of our church. She was 16. She had a rare blood disorder. We got called, me and my buddy, who was a worship pastor, to go visit her because she was on her last breath. She had Denver Children's Hospital. She's an amazing young teenager. Until her last breath, even though it came early, she didn't waste it. She was talking about Jesus. She was encouraging people. I gathered with the doctors and the family and my buddy. He was playing worship music. They took her off the ventilator. About 45 minutes later, there was this moment of, my buddy Scott was playing Mighty to Save at that moment. The doctor in the oncology area said in 30 years, he's seen a number of children pass and he's never seen it so peaceful and so beautiful. See, even God was breathing at the hardest moment. And she's alive and she's well. I never imagined 4 years later I would be in that same hospital room with my son with his bone cancer. Would have never dreamed it. We're going to sing a song now at all the campuses about God breathing. I just want to share just quickly to close this. I just felt like I was supposed to tell you why it's important to me. When we got the first call from the doctor that Carter had bone cancer, I was pretty afraid because he had gone in for a chest x-ray because he had chest congestion. And so that's where typically your bone cancer then moves to is your lungs. And so my headspace was that of not only cancer, but it's got moved to the lungs, and so my headspace just went like to, I wonder if he's just got a few months left. Not long from that moment, I entered our church sanctuary a couple of days later, and the first worship song, I walked in, and the first worship song was a song that was, Great Are You, Lord. And the song is like your life and your love and the breath in my lungs, and all of these things. And I was kind of upset. I was having a hard time. And then came this part of the song where it says, and all of the earth will sing your praise. And then it goes on to say, and these bones will sing. And I was overwhelmed with this passion of declaration of prophecy and truth from God. And in this moment, I was just expressing to him, as I thought about Carter's bones, and I thought about my bones, and I was declaring that these bones will sing, that death will not take him, and he will not have a sting. Death will not have a sting. And these bones will sing. And sometimes when we're going through life and you're not feeling like God's breathing on some things in your life, you just have to declare truth and worship. Like, what's going on for you that you need to say, God, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And the whole earth will see this. So all of this was just to set up this series. That God breathes. He is close. He's not distant. He is right here. He can manifest himself in any way he wants to. There are signs and wonders and miracles for us. And when it doesn't go the way you expect or hope for, there is peace and trust in him because he is delighted in you. Let's stand. At all the campuses, we're standing now. We're just coming together as a church family, and we're saying, God, would you breathe on us? And let come to mind even right now, where do you need the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to intervene, your mind and your heart and your life to bring hope? Where is it? Where do you need it? Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let it manifest itself right now. Breathe on us, Lord. For your glory and for our well-being. Let it come. Let it come.